Nancy, did you hear the one that says a bear, a giraffe, and a penguin walk into a bar? And the bartender says, "What? Is this some kind of a joke?"
My name is Maggie Solomon, and I take a left at the valley.
I know we shouldn't have to scream that we're atheists. You know, we don't have non-astrologers and all that. But with religious people taking over the world, I mean, we can either speak up or be pushed into a corner.
I'm proud to be an atheist, a skeptic, a non-believer, an infidel, a heathen. I call it how I see it. I say it's ignorance and you just call it faith and unsubstantiated claims. That's something to be ashamed. I'm an atheist.
Coming at you from some secret sanctuary, this is Left of the Valley. My name is Kevin, and I have the world's largest collection of seashells. I keep it all over the beaches in the world. Maybe you've seen it. Usually I have a team with me here joining me, and I usually have some nice, quick introduction, but it seems we're short a couple of members today, so it's just a dynamic duo of Kevin and Nancy.
I've always been short a couple of members. That's nothing different for me.
A couple of inches, maybe. I'm just a couple of members. Well, apparently, I hear that my introduction for you was that she has experimented to determine that the severity of an itch is proportional to the reach.
Oh, there we go. Absolutely.
So very scientific.
Oh, you've got my number, kiddo.
Hello, Nancy. Welcome back.
It's always good to be back, and the sun is shining today, and there's no snow in beautiful downtown Abbotsford.
They've been calling for
snow. So life is good.
They've been cold
compared to the rainstorm we had yesterday. Beautiful sunshine, so everything is copacetic.
Mm-hmm. Copacetic. Oh, that's
good. Yeah, that's a great $10 word from the 30s.
Point for you.
20s and 30s. Love that word.
We're going to have a good show today. We're going to be talking to Corey Johnson of the Brainstorm Podcast. But first, let's do a bit of chit-chat. Did you hear there's a movie coming out? Walt Disney is releasing a live version of Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, no, yeah. I didn't hear that.
Now, this would be good for the segment of Disney Another Brilliant Moment, because apparently there's an Alabama theater that decided to ban the movie.
Oh, of course.
Because apparently there's a bit of a homosexual moment in the movie at some point.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I don't know if you recall the movie, but if people that are familiar with the Disney version there's a antagonist in the movie. His name is Gaston, I believe.
Okay.
And he's like the challenger to the Beast as for the heart of Belle and all that. Okay. But he's got a sidekick. And in the movie, apparently, he's depicted as maybe not flamboyant, but definitely has a thing for Gaston.
Okay.
I think his name is just LeFou.
Okay.
And apparently, that was enough to have a petition out there to sign, to boycott that movie. And Alabama, some theaters in Alabama say, no, you're not going to bring this movie here in white Christian Alabama.
Well, it's not the first time they've gone after Disney. Wasn't there something else that they had objection
they go, well,
to? I mean, there's
pick a number.
I could take that as I say, as gospel, and then go you look win. It up, and I'm sure it would be verified someplace.
Absolutely. So as apparently Beauty and the Beast and Disney are now boycotted, or some people are boycotting them anyway, in Alabama. So, ooh, I'm sure it's making a huge dent in Disney's coffers.
Well, well, at first I thought you were going to say something about a Disney movie that's a cartoon where you've got a couple of the cartoon characters kissing, and so you've got a whole group of Christian mothers who are objecting to. So that's what I thought you were talking. I didn't realize there were two.
It's very similar.
Yeah.
Oh, but also, what you're referring to, I think the last time it happened at Disney was because of that movie Frozen, which was very popular, which was a story of two sisters. And a lot of people thought there was a lot of gay innuendo between the sisters, which is ridiculous. But you know what? If anything to raise up a stink about nothing, the Christians are good for that.
Absolutely. What I think we've talked about it before. What was that? The Teletubbies?
Oh, my God. That's
yeah, where the purple one was obviously.
Wasn't that Jerry Falwell?
I think it was. But
the purple
know,
Teletubby is gay.
You know, to live in a mental world where regardless of what is happening, it's a sexual innuendo and a threat.
Of
some kind.
It's the threat.
It is. Everything is a threat. You know, to have
amazing.
That kind of a mind, I'm glad it's not in my head. That's all I have
If you could say there is one perk of being an atheist, maybe you have it right there. is to not live in that world of constant fear, that world of constantly having the entire world, you know, trying to bring the homosexual agenda on you for some reason. I hope these people can just grow up.
When there's an intersection of religion and sexual suppression, you've got purple Teletubbies who are a threat. And then if you have a cartoon, you can have the cartoon characters use different bathrooms. Even that would be a horrible thing. I mean, it's like, where, you know.
Words, man.
It makes for good conversation.
It does.
Makes for terrible life in Alabama for a lot of people, unfortunately.
I should be playing a banjo in the background. did you hear that Bill Nye, our friend Bill, we love Bill Nye, and Bernie Sanders joined forces, and we had a little talk on to fight climate change.
You know, I knew that, and I missed it. So anything that about that that's good,
well,
tell me.
Well, it probably is just good to begin with.
Okay.
First of all, and it's great to bring Bill Nye and joining forces with politicians.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I think politicians, especially in the States, are ignoring the threat of climate change way too much, and especially with this administration. Of he who shall not be named.
Yeah.
And apparently there is rumor that they might be doing some more of these forums, Bernie Sanders and Bill Nye, and I sure hope so, because the Americans really need to understand this. They really do need to, and I think you have very good spokespeople for that.
Oh, I think there's a large proportion of U.S. citizens, just as well as all over the world, that believe and promote science. They're having one of the resistance things now is they're having a march, a science march, a scientist march.
Yes, I heard of that.
You know, in the next couple of weeks. I think, in general, the majority of the population understand climate change and are pro science and want science to be taught in the classrooms exactly the way it mm-hmm. should be. But at this point, you've got that small vocal minority that has taken over, and they're doing their best to subvert it and get rid of it. And eventually, they'll be tossed out. The question is, how much damage are they going to do
exactly.
in the meantime? But I think really most of the citizens are pro science. I think so too.
And I think Mark Twain said it best. He says it's hard for a man to understand something when his salary depends on him not understanding it.
Yeah.
And I think that explains very well the denial of climate change at this point today. And this is a bit of a dark weekend this weekend. You might not know this. Have you ever heard of Franklin Graham?
Oh, of course.
That's the son of Billy Graham, the famous evangelist.
I know.
He's here. He's here in Vancouver. They're having a 3-day evangelical event at Rogers Arena. 3 days? How can you praise Jesus for more than 30 seconds is beyond me? With 3 days of this?
I don't know, but you're just a glutton for punishment. There's a perverse part of me that would like to go. That is perverse. Just to see. It is perverse, but I want to see who's there, what the reactions are, what he's saying. I want to see if there's a protest outside. Thanks for reminding me. I forgot that he was here. But what job is it that he's taking over in this? He's taking over one of the administrative posts that, you know, that the dumpster, oh, I'm sorry, Trump has given him.
Oh, no.
I'm keeping up with the Russians, and I've totally forgotten what. I'm overwhelmed by so much. Mr. Graham is doing has totally escaped me for a while. I know it's awful and it's dreadful, but I can't remember what it is.
I'm still in the image of you infiltrating the Graham church and going in there and trying to find out what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
I just love that.
Yeah.
Nancy the Spy.
Yeah. Yeah, well, maybe there'll be something in the paper that we can report on next week to see how it... I'm sure there'll be something in the paper or on Facebook. Maybe somebody will let us know. Write something
somebody
up.
Was brave enough to go in there.
Yeah.
Apparently, the mayor of Vancouver, Gregor Robertson, discussed concerns about Graham with local religious groups.
Oh.
Now, a lot of these local religious groups are actually opposing Graham, which is interesting. It gives hope for humanity. Because Graham, in the past, has said some really nasty things. First of all, he said things like the LGBTQ people are sinners and Muslims are attacking Americans and blah, blah, blah. So apparently a dozen Christian leaders are opposing Graham.
And good for them. His march.
Yeah, so good for them for doing so and having the gusto to stick up to.
Yeah, you have to stick up for, you know, for the good things about religion and get the bad apples out who are making a fortune, you know, out of promoting divisiveness and interpretations of the Bible that most people don't agree with. And well, I'm making an overstatement, but the evangelicals and the real conservatives have taken over where a lot of Christians object, but they just don't quite know how to oppose it, how to deal with it. And that may be an overstatement too, but I see a lot of really good people in churches that wish people like Graham and some of the televangelists would just disappear and stop representing themselves as good Christians.
Yeah, and I find, unfortunately, it's also part of it. What worries me the most is it's part of a trend. You know, evangelicals are finding themselves confident enough that they're starting, it seems to me anyway, it's my opinion, it's only worth that much. It seems to me they're finding themselves confident enough to start exporting their messages outside of the U.S., I mean, they're making big gains in Africa, making big gains in China, and now it seems they're starting to leak across the border into Canada. And this kind of, I hope Canadians react negatively to these kind of messages, because frankly, we don't need American-style living up here in Canada.
I have trust that the Canadians, as diverse a society as we are, I think there will be voices of reason. And one of the things that gives me some hope is that there was the, not the inauguration, but the opening of the Trump Tower. And there was some resistance. The mayor didn't go to that. Mm-hmm. So I think there's enough clarity and sanity up here to, you know, so that the majority of people were rejected. There are always going to be people who are going to, you know, think of him as a great Christian leader and will follow him, but they're going to be in the minority. Yeah, I don't think it's going to infiltrate into the, you know, into society or into the government. I hope. Fingers are crossed.
Exactly. Well, I hope you're right. Well, for now, I guess we might as well go to our usual segment of This Day in History.
All righty, here we go. This Day in History, a roundup of those events and people that illuminated the days between February the 27th and March the 1st. And March the 1st was the start of the National Women's History Month in the state. So there's an awful lot that is going on. There are, of course, some good marches, and there's some things on social media promoting women and women scientists and women who have broken barriers. So there's a lot of awareness for the month. So I think that's a really happy month. Anything that helps promote women and make girls feel a little more confident in their abilities and want to reach for the stars. It's a good thing.
And so, anything to distract us from the weather too.
Pardon?
Anything to distract us from the weather.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. National Women's History Month was declared in 1987, so it really hasn't been around that long.
It's really recent, yeah.
But it's made an impact, and I think even more. I think every year it becomes more indelible, you know, in on the calendars and in different events that are planned, which is great. On March 1st, in 1896, a gentleman whose name is Henri Becquerel, I'm ruining the French, thank you, accidentally discovered radioactivity. And the way it happened was he developed a photographic plate that he accidentally left in a desk drawer that had crystals of uranium.
Oh, yeah, because I do that all the time.
My
junk drawer is full of uranium.
Yeah, exactly. And when he developed it, voila, radioactivity. So many good accidental things in science. I think more things happen
by accident.
In science that are good than perhaps are planned upon. Anyway, he shared the 1903 Nobel Prize with Pierre and Marie Curie for their work on radioactivity. So good trio there. March 2nd was Texas Independence Day, which is a big yee-haw.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to all the citizens of the low. What would we do without Texas?
Well, half, we have to mock somebody else.
Three-fourths of the things that we talk about in strange and weird history would just be wiped away.
Our other brilliant moment also would suffer a lot. That segment would suffer a lot, too.
Yeah, and the great thing about Texas this year is that Aaron Raw is going to run.
That's right.
For the Senate.
That's
so
right, Aaron Raw is actually
running. New era in Texas. Yeah, new... absolutely new slant on what Texas independence should really mean.
I sure hope he puts in a good fight for that.
Boy, you mean, and then apropos of absolutely nothing and coming coincidentally, March 3rd was International Sex Workers Day. No relationship to anything that we've said before. Just that's what happens. Days just occur. And
neither day for them too, I guess.
In 1873, on March the 3rd, the U.S. Congress enacted the Comstock Law, which made it illegal to send anything obscene, lewd, or lascivious through the mail. And that's still on the books and still gets challenged every now and then. March 4th is Employee Appreciation Day and Unplugging Day, which means just, you know, to do without all of the wonderful technology. Would you be up to that? Would you unplug for a day?
You go camping if you want to unplug.
Okay, yeah.
That's what I do.
But even then, people have their GPS, so they're not totally unplugged.
Well,
and they're listening to music, and they're checking every now and then to see what's on their Facebook.
Yeah, it's probably good for the soul.
Semi-unplugged. We ought to have a semi-unplugged, and then work our way up to total unplugged. March 4th, Employee Appreciation Day, as we said, and in 1928, it was the start of the Great Bunyan Race from Los Angeles to New York. And that really is the story of the week here. In 1928, 199 men lined up in Los Angeles, California to participate in a 3,400-mile transcontinental foot race to New York City. It was called the Bunyan Derby for obvious reasons, and it was the brainchild of a sports promoter whose name was Charles Pyle. He promised $25,000 as a grand prize and claimed that the competition would immortalize U.S. Highway Route 66, which is 2,400 miles long, mostly unpaved. And it subjected runners to mountains, deserts, mud, sandstorms, all the way from one end to the other. And the reason 199 men lined up was because the economy was so bad that people would do almost anything, you know, if a good money prize, you know, was the end, because they thought it would take them, you know, out of poverty. So that's why these 200, almost 200 men decided that they would put themselves through there. And a gentleman named Andy Payne won the event in 573 hours, 4 minutes, and 34 seconds. It took 84 days. They participated in the part foot race and part Hollywood production. And they had food concessions, vaudeville acts, sideshows, a portable radio station. So they really promoted it all along so they could get the greatest amount of audiences that they could. And the press wrote it up this way. I just love this. In a wild grab for glory, a cast of nobodies saw hope in the dust. Blacks who escaped the poverty and terror of the Old South. First-generation immigrants with their mother tongue thick on their lips. Midwest farm boys. They came, flouting the odds. Charlie Pyle's offer of free food and lodging to anyone who would take up the challenge opened the race to men of limited means. Andy Payne, who won, was elected clerk to the Supreme Court in Oklahoma City and was reelected 5 times afterward. And there was a PBS documentary called The Great American Race of 1928.
Wow.
So, yeah, I think it's probably on YouTube if anybody wants to look at it. But it was a great event. And that, dear listeners, brings to a close another passing parade of interesting, mundane, unusual, and occasionally bizarre events, if it includes Texas, of course, and people that make up this day in history.
Thank you, Nancy. As per usual, we're going to do something a tad different today because we're going to be talking about...
Quack Watch.
You're getting...
So we're not really doing a quack wash today, but we thought we'd get some clarification.
Doing, but what we're going to do is we've had Day in History, you know, for going on 3 years of the Day in History. And I think what we should do is, because we're skeptics, because we're skeptics and because we need to incorporate some more things about being skeptical and things that we need to watch, we thought that probably having a quack watch every week or so would be a good thing, because there are still things out there that are people and machines and ideas that are still trying to take advantage of people who are vulnerable, and for many different reasons.
As a public service.
As a public service. So, naturally, being a history buff, the first step we have to take is we've got to look at history to see to see what is a quack watch and how did it get its name. So, we'll bear through with this, and then we'll get to the really interesting stuff as we go on. Okay. The word quack is an abbreviation of what was originally a Dutch word, but it sounds an awful lot like quacksalver. And it came to be in the 16th century. And what that word meant was a peddler who sold fraudulent medicines in the street. Hmm. Which is kind of interesting. And there were like grandiose claims for these salves and so forth. And so the people who sold these salves or ointments, especially the ones that people said they could cure just about anything from headaches to bunions to pneumonia to, you know, the fainting spells, whatever it was, those people were charlatans who were peddling this stuff were called quacksalver, and so that was shortened to a quack, which means either a fake or an unethical medical doctor.
Oh,
so that's where that came from. So quackery, then, is the promotion of fraudulent or ignorant medical practices. And a quack is a fraudulent or ignorant pretender to medical skill. And any person who pretends professionally or publicly to have skill, knowledge, or qualifications that he or she doesn't possess, like a charlatan or a snake oil salesman, they're quacks. And in the Middle Ages, the term quack also meant shouting. So maybe the quack part of it, you know, from quacking ducks that are noisy and the quack solver. So the word quack just sort of came into being, and it's still with us. You think it's still a good word to use, a good shorthand?
Sure, why not?
I mean, and there are websites called Quack Watches, and there are a lot of things on the net to warn people. But for some reason, regardless of the amount of warning and information that's out there, people still fall for things that offer quick cures and
we're trusting people normally, right? I mean,
you'd think people would know better, but I think, and this is a wide statement, I bet you that if any of us talked to friends and acquaintances, we would find at least one who's fallen for some kind of a scam.
I'll have to go very far right here.
I'll be
the first one to say I've fallen for many of these kind of things.
Inconceivable!
Yeah, any that you want to share with us as time goes on?
Well, maybe not today, but
I think we all have, you know, because something that has seemed really attractive has gotten the best of us. And so what we're going to try to do is to minimize or at least take away the attraction.
Exactly.
And I think we're going to call the segment Scams, Shams, Scams, Shams, and Ultimate Quacks.
Fair enough.
Do you think?
Yeah, it sounds good, pretty good. And if the listeners want to let us know, send us an email at left@valley@outlook.com.
That's right. If you have any at all, and we're going to start the segment off next week with orthomolecular therapy.
Ooh, that should be interesting.
That's a good one.
But right now we're going to take a pause, and we're going to come right back with Corey Johnson. Stay tuned.
Do you know where Saskatchewan is? Probably not. It's in Canada. If you do, you might know a city named Regina. In Regina, there's a studio. And in that studio, there are, at least once a month, a bunch of skeptical atheist geeks and goofballs who get together to do a podcast. We are the Brainstorm Crew, and we're trying to help spread a bit of reason and critical thinking while still having fun. Never taking things too seriously, but still not accepting everything we're told, we go through different topics, exploring them in depth, and often disagreeing. We try to stick to provable facts, and we never trust a myth. That's why we say we're woo-free since 2013. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or Spreaker under Brainstorm, or check out our website, brainstormblog.net. I can't promise you'll always agree with us, but I can promise you'll have fun listening to us.
If your skepticism is socially conscious and doesn't take itself too seriously, you might like Life, the Universe, and Everything Else.
Ray Comfort, his big stumper was literally, which came first, the chicken or the egg?
A lot of the interviews took place in front of a building that said liberal arts. I'm guessing that they're not all science majors.
Life, the Universe, and Everything Else. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and pretty much anywhere else. I don't know, Zoom? Is that still a thing?
Hi, I'm the Supreme Irreverend Dr. Randy Tyson from the Legion of Reason Diversion. Join me and my co-hosts, Christine Shelska, Twyla, and Nate Phelps, as we explore issues at the intersection of atheism, humanism, and skepticism. Topics range from alternative medicine to the interference of religion in public policy. We often have special guests to help us understand the topic du jour. Previous guests include biologist Jerry Coyne, ex-Muslim author Ali Rizvi, philosopher Peter Boghossian, and the late physicist Victor Stanger. You can watch us on the Legion of Reason YouTube channel or subscribe to the audio version through your favorite podcatcher such as iTunes or Stitcher. And don't forget to like the Legion of Reason Facebook page.
Whoever is led to believe that species are mutable will do good service by conscientiously expressing his conviction. For only thus can the load of prejudice by which this subject is overwhelmed be removed.
So what you know about natural selection?
And we're back. So now, Nancy, we got a guest. His name is Corey Johnson. He is one of the co-hosts of the podcast Brainstorm out of Saskatchewan. Corey, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Oh,
got a live audience just loving you, man. We're just loving you.
We're so glad you could spend some time ever. With us. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, Corey, would you be so kind to give us, you know, some of our audience might not know the Brainstorm podcast, and if they don't, shame on them. You should really be listening. Give us at least a Reader's Digest introduction of what you guys are all about.
Skepticism and critical thinking is the main theme of the show. We take news stories, current events, and skeptical topics, and we kind of try and do a bit of an analysis of it. I mean, we joke around a lot. We have a lot of fun with it, but sometimes we really try and analyze things a little bit deeper than you might on another show or
Hey, that's not a slight towards us.
An article.
That's not a slight towards us, is it?
No.
Well, thank you for coming on the show, Corey. It was great having you.
Actually, there is a lot of shows that do things the same way that we do. I think because we have such a large crew, that we have a variety of takes on different things, and we have a lot of give and take on different subjects. So,
mm-hmm. So how did the whole idea of the podcast come about for you guys?
It's funny because it's mainly a product of my own ego, right?
Oh.
Aren't all shows products of somebody's ego? I mean,
another slight at me. What is this with that pick on Kevin Day?
Just because I was looking at you, Kevin, doesn't mean I was singling you out.
I was hanging out with my friends for a lot. Every second weekend, I'd go and hang out with my buddies, and we'd drink and we'd talk, and I was just thinking, like, you know, we're really a pretty smart bunch of people. Maybe we should put something together and put it out on the internet. And since then, we've kind of learned that we weren't as smart as we thought we were.
Reality catches up with us one way or the other, doesn't it, Corey?
That's right.
So that was simply it? You guys out of the blue decided, you know, instead of just drinking beer and talking philosophy and stuff like that, why don't we just put a mic in front of our face?
Yeah, well, that was because I listened to a bunch of different podcasts. Like, I was listening to Cognitive Dissonance and Scathing Atheist and a bunch of other ones. And I was thinking, you know, this seems like it's not that hard to put together.
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Now you know better.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was considerably more difficult than I thought it would be.
So the rumor is that you guys started this podcast because there really is nothing else to do in Saskatchewan. Is that true? You want to share a comment on that?
Yeah, well, it's either do something like that or get in trouble, right?
Maybe you can settle the bet, too. Is it true that if you look to the east, you'll see the back of your head eventually?
Yeah, maybe not quite, but you can see pretty far.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Corey. And today we are going to be talking about a segment that I like to call... Where is it? Where's my...
Feel free to jump in, Corey. So we're going to do a couple of segments. And,
yes, we're doing a segment called...
So feel free to jump right in.
Another brilliant moment brought to you by religion. I've got plenty of stories. I've got actually two or three stories. Let's start with the one about the fat man red hat news. Christian hate pastor Joshua Frewenstein heard about how witches are going to cast a spell on Donald Trump. So he wants everyone to pray to counter the hex. This is serious, and this is what is happening in the 21st century in the U.S.
Have they got any room on the witches panel? I want to... Please!
Because as everyone knows, if two forms of bullshit are mixed, their powers cancel out. It's like Newton's fourth law of motion or something, right?
The funny thing is, like, you'll have one side that if something does happen and Trump gets impeached, then they take credit. And the other side is like, oh, well, he didn't get impeached. If he doesn't get impeached, then they get to take credit. So somebody always gets to take credit for it, even though they didn't do anything.
Absolutely. Yep, yep. So he goes on and he says, the witches are gathering together around the globe to perform black magic against the president because the news media didn't work their fake news and the marches didn't stop him. So now they're upping the ante by bringing back black magic into the equation. But I've got good news for you. I don't care if there's a million of witches they are gathering against Donald Trump because of their bibbidi bobbidi boo, and this is actually what he said. Is it more powerful than in the name of Jesus?
The power of Christ. There's something about that bibbidi bobbidi boo.
Salagadoola, metchagaboola, bibbidi bobbidi boo. Put them together, and what have you got? Bibbidi bobbidi boo.
This just is attracting me more and more.
Well, if this guy wasn't such a douchebag, he'd make a good comedian. That's the funny thing.
Yeah, if he wasn't taking himself so seriously, it'd be funny.
Oh, it'd be so funny, right? And not that I care to parse the different kinds of spell there are, but the witches involved here are casting a binding spell on Trump. That's not a curse, as Fernstein suggests. Binding spells are actually used to prevent someone or something from causing harm. There is a group of witches that are getting together to actually create some kind of a spell. So this guy actually is onto something, but it's just like, come on. A binding spell is not going to work, and praying in the name of Jesus is not going to save Donald Trump.
No.
So any words of wisdom from either one, from Nancy, from you, Corey?
No, it's just that the paranoia politic train is rapidly heading toward crazy town, and I don't know how to stop it. It just gets worse every week. So now it's the spells. Okay.
All right.
Well, Bibbidi-bobbidi-boo is now our resistance byword. I got to make a sign next March. It's the bibbidi-bobbidi-boo sign for me, buddy.
So let's move on to another story then. All right. Well, speaking of brilliant people, just when you were comfortable believing that wealthy athletes were also the intellectual elite, reality will slap you in the face. Kyrie Irving, in a recent podcast appearance with teammate Channing Frye and Richard Jefferson, asked the group if they believe the Earth is round. Now, Kyrie Irving is a basketball player. He set himself up for a head-scratching answer to his own question. He said, this is not essentially a conspiracy theory. He said, the Earth is flat. When pressed, for a response that, for the record, is flat out wrong. Irving went on the rails and blamed a particular group he did not name, which he thinks wants to convince us the Earth is in fact round. Irving said, right in front of our faces, I'm telling you, it's right in front of our faces. They lie to us. What I've been taught is that the Earth is round, but if you really think about what landscape and the way we travel, the way we move, to the fact that you can really think of us rotating around the sun and all the planets align, rotating in specific dates, being perpendicular to what's going on with these planets, I have no idea what he's talking about. This guy doesn't make any sense.
No, I think, didn't he say something, but he knew it was flat because when he's in a plane and they're flying, he can see that horizon stretching straight out in front of him.
And it doesn't look curved.
What other scientific proof does one need other than sitting in that plane and I don't know what he's drinking. Is he in first class where he's,
he's in first class and drinking a lot of champagne. So, Corey, I'm hoping that you and your group of skeptics at Brainstorm will stop telling people that the Earth is a oblate spheroid. Will you stop doing that? Because the Earth is obviously flat. Can we have you on the record saying that today?
I'm afraid not, no.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
No cooperation with this guy. Dude, we have a basketball player here. Come on.
That's true. While he is a sure authority on the subject.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, he uses a sphere in his hands all the time when he's dribbling. He knows what spheres are.
That's right.
Right.
You can tell by holding a basketball that the Earth is nowhere shaped like that.
Absolutely. We're such heretics.
I know.
And we just keep... We just don't know when to stop, do we?
Yeah, so I really don't know what to do with this. So, Corey, let's talk about your show here, then.
Sure.
What exactly are you guys trying to do here with Brainstorm? Are you guys just trying to go out there and just inform? Are you just doing this for fun? Or what's your mandate then?
It started out just for fun, but I think we've turned into kind of an information / educational show. We have it in two parts. The first half is first week was always just fun. We do interviews and current events or whatever, and then our second half always has an educational component to it. So we're, I guess, trying to spread a little bit of critical thinking and a little bit of skepticism.
Okay, and in the prairies in Saskatchewan there, do you guys bump into a lot of pushback against critical thinking and atheism and all that? Are the prairies more religious than they are here on the West Coast, you hear?
Oh yeah, definitely.
It's Jesus Town over there?
It is.
You can't handle the truth!
You may not be familiar with our Brad Wall's antics, but he likes to promote prayer in our legislative assemblies, and he likes to promote... like really push Christianity in his Christmas addresses, and like it's pretty religious here.
Now Brad Wall is the premier, right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Oh, really? He's a bit like our Christy Clark, although she doesn't push prayer exactly in the legislative assembly. She is quite religious herself.
Yeah, actually, I think that he quite likes Christy Clark. He's taken a page out of her book in the educational reform type.
Oh God, no.
Mentality.
So. No, don't do that.
yeah, no kidding.
Oh, cool. So have you guys had a lot of pushback essentially on the show yet?
No, actually, we seem to be flying under the radar in Saskatchewan. We have our local CFI group supports us, and we have our local atheists and skeptics all are part of our own community. But as far as the general populace is concerned, we might as well not exist.
Oh, so you don't get any email or any feedback at all from your audience?
It's probably the best way to be, actually, to be under the radar.
Yeah. Well, that's why I asked. No,
we don't hear anything negative anyway.
That's good.
So what are the biggest battles do you guys have in Saskatchewan? I mean, besides the premier trying to push religion into the legislative assembly, you guys face a lot of creationism, for example.
Yeah, we have our share of creationists. I find myself arguing for evolution quite a bit, just on a personal level. I think in the broader range, we have a lot of climate change denialism.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, like, so we're constantly arguing for the carbon taxes, or we're arguing for the science of climate change, and it's like talking to a brick wall sometimes.
So you guys are essentially like Alberta light, right?
Yeah, basically, like Saskatchewan and rural Alberta are the same mentality.
Wow. Okay.
Do you have any of the public schools there that hand out religious material at all, or have you gotten beyond that?
Well, I think all the schools, all the elementary schools here in grade five or so, give parents an opt-out form, and if they don't opt out, then the company or whatever comes and gives Bibles to the kids. But if you have the option to opt out, I guess.
Yeah, we've had that for years in Abbotsford, and just last year, the school board was finally presented with an option. How about if you give out one of Richard Dawkins' books and give the parents an opportunity to opt out from that? And suddenly they went into a panic behind closed doors and said, you know, we'll just do away with it. Thank you very much. Wonderful offer, but we're going to disband. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but that's what it took, an option, and finally the schools gave up. So maybe that's something eventually that'll happen there.
Yeah, but that was also in Chilliwack too, right?
Yeah, in Chilliwack.
Yeah, just to give you an idea there, Corey, we're in Abbotsford, which is essentially the Canadian Bible Belt, in that sense that it actually has more churches per capita than any other place in the country, apparently.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But although it's, I don't see nowhere near as much Jesus preaching as what you seem to be experiencing in rural
right. Yeah, the town I used to live in used to have like a population of just over 10,000, and it had something like 20 churches in it.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over. What are we going to do now?
So,
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fairly typical. We have a population of, 150,000, 60,000? We have 100 churches. They don't talk to each other. They use the same roadways to get to church, but they avert their eyes.
If you have more churches than Tim Hortons, you could consider yourself to be a pretty religious town.
That's right.
Do you find, I mean, in your neck of the woods, we're seeing here, we seem to be seeing, it's my opinion, of course, an influx of religious thinking seeping across the U.S. border into the country. You know, we were talking a bit earlier that we have Billy Graham that's actually here in Vancouver doing some kind of evangelical
Franklin,
seminar.
Franklin, the son of.
Oh, no, sorry, did I see Billy?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Franklin, yeah, Billy's. Probably mummified at this point. Anyway, and we're seeing, like I said, creationism coming across the border and stuff like that. In your neck of the woods, what do you see?
Yeah, well, we see some of that. I mean, I don't know if you read the article from Alberta where they were chanting the lock her up thing for their premier. We seem to be really influenced, especially in Regina and Weyburn, where I used to live, because it's so close to the border. We're so influenced by North Dakota,
That's
kind of not a great place, as far as I can
that's
tell.
That's not a great claim.
So
put that on the license plate. Saskatchewan, influenced by North Dakota. That's a horrible logo.
Right. it doesn't sound good, does it?
No, really. Wow.
Well, I'm interested in some of the things that you do with your topics, Corey, like critical thinking. What kinds of things do you promote, or how do you promote critical thinking? You've got, you know, a large group of people, you've got different kinds of views, so that's one topic that we've been interested in here for quite a while. So what is it that you're doing that you can share with us that's valuable in terms of promoting it?
Well, I think like as far as our promotion of critical thinking is, like, we take common topics that people seem to get wrong, And we kind of take a good look at them every now and then, and really look at the research, and we try to provide our sources so that if somebody wanted to check back on us, then we can kind of cite where we got our information. And like, we've been looking individually at logical fallacies and common skeptical issues where, like, vaccines causing autism and GMO fear-mongering, things like that. And we just try really hard to provide our sources, eh?
Yeah, one of the things, one of the guys on our crew, Tyler, who's not here today, that's one of his favorite subjects, and one of the things that he would like to see, and he's actually, you know, trying to promote, is to have critical thinking as part of the fifth, I think it's the fifth grade, at least 12-year-olds, and he's approaching the schools to see if they can put critical thinking as part of the curriculum at the ages where kids are just beginning to really, you know, begin a little thinking a little bit deeper and becoming aware of different controversies. So is that something that, that you've talked about on your show?
We have. It seems like when we've talked about it, it seems like everybody kind of has a different idea. The skeptical outlook on critical thinking seems to be different than the educational outlook on critical thinking. And I think we need to, we on our show have kind of discussed where we need to find a balance there so that, like you say, like so that kids can actually analyze things, claims as they're coming. I think there was a study not that long ago that talked about teenagers and looking at advertorials versus real news stories, and they couldn't tell the difference. So it's something that's definitely important to look at, try to get going anyway.
Yeah, especially in this era of fake news, when you can't tell the difference, this society is at risk, which it is now. You can see this play out in the States. And thank goodness, not so much here.
I believe it's Al Gore that said the fourth estate, the press, is essentially the immune system of the democracy.
Yeah.
If it's not working properly, you have a sick democracy. So I have to tell you.
As long as it's effective, right?
Exactly. As long as it's effective, yeah. Totally. I'm curious about the, you said you have a big crew. How big is your crew?
When everybody is there, we have six people putting their input in, and then we still have our sound guy, Dave, who sits there, and he doesn't often comment, but he's there if we happen to broach a subject he knows about or has some interest in. So we can have up to seven people.
That's pretty fantastic. I mean, in a place that's not as populous, I mean, there's not as much population as there is in BC, how do you guys find each other?
Actually, surprisingly, the crew has changed quite a bit over the years, but the original group were all guys that I grew up with or knew when I was a teenager. So we just all kind of learned to be skeptical at similar times, eh?
Did you deconvert out of religion yourself?
Sort of. I mean, my parents were what you would call, I guess, born again Christians when I hit my teen years. And then so I rebelled against that and decided to call myself agnostic. And then I kind of believed all kinds of different things over the years. And then when I hit 30, 31, I just decided that I realized that, yeah, I'm actually an atheist. And that's kind of my deconversion story isn't terribly interesting compared to some of them I've heard.
No, actually, it's the typical deconversion story. That's pretty much what happened to me too, and for a lot of people. So there's nothing wrong with that. It just sometimes takes time because we never give it much thought.
Yeah, you just get older and you learn more. And I mean,
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So where is the Brainstorm podcast going? Where do you guys want to take this?
You know, it's hard to say. Right now, we average a couple hundred downloads per episode. So, I mean, that's pretty good. We're reaching people. We have interaction with certain audience members on a regular basis. And we have a pretty good support from our listeners. Mm-hmm. I have another project that I'm starting. I'm going to start doing a solo project where I'd take 2 or 3 months to put an episode together and like do a real deep dive and do as many interviews as I can and get really into something and then put an episode out every 2 or 3 months. And then me and Destin are also looking at another project. So, I mean, this is all, it's just going to branch out into other projects.
Mm.
That's good.
Last year, we actually put together an atheist conference or a skeptical conference.
Way to go.
Yeah, and it was quite a success. It's just finding the time to do it, to arrange that again while still putting on a show, and we have these other projects on the go. So
yeah, exactly. And a heavy life.
So actually, you're going to do a radio documentary, in essence, every 3 months. What kind of topics interest you? What do you think needs that deep dive to get it out and to get more people exposed to either a point of view or educate them?
Well, the first subject that I'm tackling is this idea of social justice. And because there seems to be this divide within atheist and skeptic communities online, where there's the quote-unquote SJWs, and there's the other side who, I don't even have a name for the other side, but, you know, like, you have these two sides and there seems to be this split and nobody seems to know what the other side is talking about, but they sure don't have any trouble vilifying them. So so I think that really it needs an real examination.
Yeah. And I've noticed that too. When it comes to social justice warriors, there is the people that, I don't know, they there is like left and then there's like far left almost in, if we were going to analyze this via a political spectrum. Right. Yourself, Corey, where would you find yourself on that spectrum?
You know, I find that the worse arguments I hear against the far left, the further left I go.
Okay, that's interesting. Give me an example of that.
As an example, there was the riot in Berkeley there when Milo was going to speak, and some people were arguing that was a protest by the students and it's a censorship and whatnot, and I support obviously free speech, but I found that argument was vilifying people who weren't doing any rioting and weren't doing any harm in the name of these few people who were doing harm. And it pushed me towards that kind of like, well, okay, well, maybe this no platforming thing actually has some merit. And as a result, I actually did a debate on the Wayward Atheists with Edward Smith, where I took the pro no platforming stance.
Hmm. What is that? Forgive my ignorance here, but what exactly do you mean by the no platform stance?
Well, I mean, no platforming is just the act of not giving somebody a platform to speak or spread their ideas, right? Mm-hmm. And many people consider universities to be on a level where they need to be a bastion of ideas, so you need to have both even the worst of the worst of ideas presented. And I tried to explain a perspective where that might not necessarily be the case. Like I presented it as an economic capitalist type argument, actually, where universities have to do a cost-benefit analysis and they have to decide if a speaker is value or is good for the university or bad for the university based on not just finances. Everybody got hung up on the money aspect, but it wasn't just about the finances for my argument. I tried to make it about, like, because they have a reputation to uphold, they have educational standards to uphold, they have all kinds of things that they have to take into account. And ultimately, that was my argument. It was a capitalist type argument for the position that universities get to decide if somebody speaks at their platform or not.
Hmm. Well, it gets interesting. I think, and this may be a little off center a little bit, but yes, universities need to be able to, you know, promote different ideas and diverse people from all over, and people need to hear those ideas. And I think, you know, many times when students prevent or protest against someone because they don't they don't like his point of view, that's one thing. But when you have someone like Milo who uses the platform to grandstand and vilify other people just to spread hate, I think that's a whole different category. And maybe, you know, the university is right in not having him. It's a fine line between free speech and allowing somebody the opportunity to just spew hatred in all directions without caring whether or not he's giving, you know, any intellectual content. He just wants to.
You know, we should do a show. We should do a show yeah. on this and invite Corey and Dr. Randy Tyson from the Legion of Reason.
Yeah.
I think you guys do not...
I've talked to him a few times about it. We definitely disagree.
Yes. I think it would be a very interesting show.
Yeah. Well, yeah, did you would, bring up I'm the... Sure yeah, but were those elements at all in any of your arguments, or am I kind of off in my thinking there, Corey?
Well, ultimately for the university, I laid it out as that economic capitalist type argument. But after that, I did also present some reasons why students might try to have somebody say no platform. And Milo's a perfect example because he does that specific targeting of students. And like he has some very, what you could actually almost say is specifically hurtful things that he's promoting, these ideas that he's promoting. So I see where the students... And I don't know if I can justify the students' actions of trying to shut him down 100%. I'm just saying that they have their reasons for why they're trying to get him shut down. Mm-hmm. And the university has to take those reasons and apply them to a formula and decide on their best interests if they remove that platform.
Hmm. Very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, well, it's a fine line. You really are someone who believes strongly in free speech, but then you have people like Milo that just turn all of your ideas on their head.
Well, even in Canada, free speech is not exactly the same version of free speech we have in the States. There are some things here you're not allowed to actually say by law. Very interesting. Corey, the mic is all yours, my friend. If you want to promote your show and all that, be shameless, go right ahead. Give us a plug.
It's, as you said, the Brainstorm Podcast. It's our website is brainstormblog.net. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, pretty much anywhere the podcasts are found.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Corey. And
let me just jump in for a second without even checking with Kevin. But
no,
when when you do your deep dive and you have an episode that really covers the social justice topic or whatever, let us know. And if it's possible for us to replay it here and give it some audience attention, that would be great, because you're doing something that isn't done typically. And I think people want to get deeply into one episode, which we can't do all the time. So if you're into sharing, that would be fantastic.
Us Canadians have to stick together anyway, right?
Yeah. let us know.
I will, yeah. No, I for sure will.
If somebody wants to reach you, Corey, where can they find you?
I've got interviews. I've got interviews lined up. I still actually am looking for people who consider this social justice movement to be problematic, mm-hmm. because I'm having trouble finding people who will sit down and have an interview with me and explain their perspective to me. So I'd really like if I can find anybody who has a really thoughtful perspective, I want to hear it.
Okay, fair enough. So if we find somebody, we'll send them your way. If people want to find you, Corey, where can they find you?
The best place, I guess I'm on Facebook as just Corey Johnston, or you can check out my Facebook page, The Hardcore Skeptic. And if you want to email me for any reason, it's mail@brainstormblog.net.
Perfect. Now, Corey, before I let you go, can I get you to say one more thing? I get you to say, hi, I'm Corey Johnston of the Brainstorm Podcast, and I took a left at the valley.
Hi, I'm Corey Johnston from the Brainstorm Podcast, and I took a left at the valley.
And that is Corey Johnston of the Brainstorm Podcast.
What a nice guy.
Another Canadian podcast I highly recommend. Great show. And you guys should be encouraging the local talent anyway before listening to those Americans, which they do a good job too.
Yeah, I really am interested in one episode that's totally devoted to a topic that needs, expansion. We cover a lot of topics, but it's good to just concentrate on one and get
both
sides.
We'll have to keep an eye on Corey there.
Yeah, looking forward to hearing that.
And bring him back. But before we go, there's a story I really wanted to talk about. So let's do...
Things that make you go...
Because I think it's a Canadian story, so why not bring it on?
Okay, here we go.
Since I have a Canadian thing going on today. Did you hear that the oldest traces of life on Earth were found in Quebec?
I did, but I didn't read the story.
Apparently, it's dating back roughly to 3.8 billion years. What they found is they found bright red hematite rocks, and a team of international scientists has found the oldest record of life on Earth in northern Quebec, dating back to 3.8 billion years. Our solar system was formed about 4.6 billion years ago. Scientists believe that about 4.3 billion years ago, water already existed on the surface of the Earth. However, it isn't known as when the earliest life emerged.
Okay.
The recent research has found life to be at 3.4 billion years, and sometimes also recently at 3.7. Now, this discovery that was made in the Nouveau-Chiguk Greenstone Belt in northern Quebec is a rock known as the Banded Iron Formations. These formations existed billions of years ago, a result of microorganisms reacting with dissolved iron in the water that covered the planet. The rocks look like they appear red and white in layers.
Uh-huh.
That's what it almost looks like, some kind of cake, actually. So, whether or not there's a debate whether the age of the rock is in the belt is 3.8 billion or 4.3 billion years old.
What's a billion here? Half a billion.
A couple of billion. But nonetheless, it pushes back. Because we have the evidence for 3.7. So now it pushes back to at least 3.8, maybe to 4.3 billion years old.
Interesting. So. Well, I didn't think that you read the story. Were they specifically looking for this, or was it one of those, happenstance, accidental, serendipity kinds of
That's
finds?
A good question.
Yeah, it is.
It doesn't really say in there. It doesn't say if they were actually looking for that. No, it
that's
says
okay. That's your homework, audience. Everybody,
that's right.
Look it up and send us back your findings. You've got your audience. Our audience has been very quiet lately.
It has been quiet. Little
homework and little participation is required this week.
That's right.
Little assembly required.
But it's interesting because it goes completely against my deep held belief that the Earth is 6,000 years old. Of course. and the dinosaurs and gladiators had fights. Why dispute that when you have rocks? Who cares what rocks are saying?
It's those coffee hours with Ken Ham that have been changing your point of view a little bit.
Oh yeah,
he's come up to skeptics in the pub and turning everybody toward creationism. What's happening?
Yeah, indeed, it doesn't make any sense. But hey, that's okay. It's how it goes. I'd rather follow the science.
There you go.
So, thank you so much, Nancy, for joining me today.
It was a fun show.
Yeah, we had fun.
We make a cute couple, don't we? A couple of what? I'm not going to get into it.
Exactly.
But we make a cute couple.
And thank you to our guest, Corey Johnson, for being with us today. Coming up next week, we'll be talking to Mr. Deedy, Brian Keith Dalton. That should be fun.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll also, the weekend after that, we'll be talking to... Cara Santa Maria. She's also one of the Skeptic Scouts of the Universe. She's a science educator. We'll have our friend Jim Newman from the Life Universe and Everything Else podcast. And our old friend Anthony Avis Dubuisson. Remember him?
Yes, I do.
He's coming back to us April 1st. And no, it is not an April Fool's gag.
Okay.
So, and of course, on the 15th, also we have the debate, the Christian debate. Our friend Chris Christensen will be debating the resurrection versus Tyler. So.
Ooh, that's going to be close because Chris came out ahead the last one. Tyler better be on his toes.
Exactly. So it's going to be interesting to see what's going on there. You guys can send us an email at leftatvalley@outlook.com. You can follow us at Facebook. You can follow us at Twitter @LATV Podcast. All of a sudden,
we're not hiding.
No, we're not hiding. Leftofthevalley.com. You can send an email. You can actually sign in for Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube.
And if you think you want to come on our show, let us know.
Let us know.
You betcha. We'd Why love not? To have you.
Why not?
We're I can open. See you through our little mic, and you're raring to go. You just need a little encouragement. So come join us.
Nancy dear, thank you again. Until next week.
Oh yeah. There's a crush in my body. You can bet your last dollar I'll be working hard fighting this problem. Religion is a disease. It comes from culture. Only true on a regional scale. Science is universal. Or you could say that Horus isn't real, but Jesus is. Or Zeus, Thor, Mithra, Vishnu. You don't believe in them. I think the reason is apparent. You do what you're told and believe in the God assigned by your parents. I'm proud to be an atheist, a skeptic, a non-believer, an infidel, a heathen. I call it how I see it. I say it's ignorance and you just call it faith and unsubstantiated claims. That's something to be ashamed. I'm an atheist.
Atheist, atheist,
I'm an atheist.
Atheist, atheist.
Now let me take a sec, don't mean to sound so hateful, but I swear to God, pun intended, I find it disgraceful that thousands of children are raped by priests, and since they're holy men of God, they get away scot-free. And the Pope does his very best to keep it on the hush, don't wanna affect business, he loves money too much. We know that they love the kids, but how the fuck can we protect them while they planning to molest them? We teaching them to respect them.
Respect them. Fuck that.
The system is broke down, working backwards, and the only action or tactic I plan to practice now is to attack them. The parties of God's hands are bloodstained, millions of murders by believers, and they're all in God's name. And let me take a sec, don't mean to sound so hateful, but I swear to God, pun intended, I find it disgraceful that many atheists are told to be quiet. You're not alone, speak your mind, time to let it be known. I'm proud to be an atheist, a skeptic, a non-believer, an infidel, a heathen. I call it how I see it. I say it's ignorance and you just call it faith and unsubstantiated claims. That's something to be ashamed. I'm an atheist.
Atheist, atheist.